When you're a maintenance engineer in a beverage manufacturing plant, you keep production lines moving and quality on track because there's no room for slowdowns. With Grainger's vast selection of high-quality motors, sensors, belts, and hard-to-find parts, you can get what you need fast and all in one place, so nothing gets in the way of getting the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Wow, this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Thank you for joining us, everybody. It has been a jam-packed week here on the show. A lot of guests. It was really a cavalcade of stars wandering through the studio this week. And today, Friday, it is Open Line Friday, which is the one day out of the week that you get to call in. And you can talk about whatever is on your mind. However, you get to steer the conversation today on the Todd Starnes Radio program. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need it if you plan on calling in. Our number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. And, of course, also want to welcome all of the folks watching the Todd Starnes Radio Show on our Facebook channel, Rumble channel, and, of course, our YouTube channel. And we'll be dipping in during the commercial breaks to some of those platforms and conversing with many of you there. Well, a lot happening, ladies and gentlemen, across the country. Really around the world, we understand now that the vice president, we got this word late yesterday, the vice president is not going to Switzerland after all, it's a mess. It's a great big mess right now. And I truly believe that the president is going to get this under control. We really have no other choice, about the matter. But again, J.D. Vance will not be going to Switzerland. The president, going to Camp David, which he has not done. I mean, it's a very rare thing for the president to spend the weekend at Camp David, but the president will be at Camp David this weekend. So we're going to keep you updated on this. Israel and Lebanon have been going at it, Hezbollah firing rockets. We understand there may be some sort of a ceasefire, on that side of it. But the one thing that really that we've got to get a handle on is this idea that you have to have complete allegiance now. So it doesn't matter what side of the, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, both parties now are demanding full and complete allegiance. And if you cannot affirm every single thing that your guy or gal does, then that makes you the enemy. And that's what's going on right now in Trump world. Is that anybody who may have an issue with the way this has all been handled, then all of a sudden that makes you an enemy of the president. And I completely reject that premise. The other side of it is, well, if you have a problem with Israel not listening to President Trump, well, that makes you a Jew hater. Well, no, it does not. I reject that premise as well. So we've got to get a handle on all of this stuff. It is just simply out of control. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Write it down. That's 901-260-5926. And as promised, we are going right to the phones on this Open Line Friday. Let's say hello to Johnny, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 in Houston, Texas. Johnny, what's on your mind today?
Oh, thanks, Todd, for taking my call. I wanted to talk to you about the Iran situation. I believe I'm probably in the minority of conservatives on my opinion of that situation, but I think the president blew it. in that he told the Persians help was on its way, and they never came. The help never showed up. And 45,000 to 75,000, depending on who you want to believe, Persians were murdered because they thought America was going to back them. Then I think he blew it a second time on that memorandum of understanding. If the final deal reflects anything in that memorandum, it's going to be us saying Trump funded Iran, not Obama. And then there could possibly be another 100,000, and I'm just guessing there, persons killed after the treaty or deal is struck, because there will be nothing restraining Iran. And I am highly concerned about what it's going to do to us in midterm. We already have Republicans predicting we're losing the House. And the way this thing is going,
Johnny, what do you want the president to do? What would you prefer that the president do with Iran?
Well, I'd have preferred him never opened his mouth.
That horse has left the barn. That horse has left the barn. So, what do you want him to do now, based on everything that has happened?
He cannot allow Iran to rebuild. We should have went in, and I am one guy who does not want boots on the ground. I'm retired Air Force, but in this case, because of the situation, how it developed, we should have went in and finished the job, because it's going to be worse than it was.
Johnny, I think there are probably a lot of folks that agree with your assessment there. I will say this. Now, the administration from day one said we were not bombing anything except for the military sites. We really weren't going after the infrastructure. My question at that point is, okay, if they're going to get this $300 billion back, and set aside for the fact who's going to be paying for that, you know, where that money's coming from, the administration says none of that is coming from U.S. dollars. Okay, fine. So Iran is still going to get $300 billion. What are they going to use that money for? I mean, if the infrastructure wasn't destroyed, in my thinking, they're going to use that money to rebuild their military bases. I mean, that's what that money's going to go for.
Absolutely. It's going to be worse than it ever was.
All right. Yeah. Well, it will be. Whether or not that is fair or not remains to be seen. But right now, it seems to me the only clear option is just to declare victory and get out of there. I mean, I don't believe we've destroyed the nuclear capabilities. I don't believe that's been achieved.
No, I don't either.
And
yeah,
so
we didn't destroy the Air Force or their Navy, like the president said, either, because they still have fragments of those, at least enough to break the blockade several occasions and shoot down our aircraft on a couple of occasions. So, yeah, I agree with you. We should have went. Should have just got out and declared.
All right. Yeah, we've got a bad phone connection there, Johnny. I think the train may be interfering with it. But thank you for calling. And, again, you know, it's just, I mean, the facts are the facts here. You know, they say that we have completely decimated Iran. We had total, complete, full air superiority, and yet they're still firing missiles. They're still doing all of this stuff, even as we were declaring complete victory. So I say, you know, if this thing is supposed to drag on, I think the memorandum of understanding, if that ever takes effect, we're looking at least 60 more days. That is putting us right up in the middle of campaign season, ladies and gentlemen. And that does concern me, especially if things go south. So my take on it is this: declare victory and get out. Bring our guys back home. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Here is the Vice President, J.D. Vance. Cut number 12, please.
Walk through some of this. The Iranians are saying that they're going to have access to a $300 billion reconstruction fund. True or false?
Well, Ed, that's the sort of thing they could have access to, funded by the Gulf Coast Coalition, so long as they honor their end of the obligation. I think that one of the things you're going to see, Ed, and people have to be skeptical of this, is that the hardliners in the Iranian system will overemphasize the benefits that Iran gets while underemphasizing all the things that they have to concede and all the things they have to provide in order to get these benefits. So we absolutely are open to the Gulf Coast countries investing in the reconstruction of Iran, but only if Iran ends their nuclear program, ends their enriched stockpile of material, and is really open to an inspections and enforcement regime that gives the American people confidence right. They're never going to have a nuclear weapon. So I think the dance you're going to see, Ed, which is going to be interesting, is the Iranian media, especially the hardline media, they're going to talk a lot about what they get without talking about what they give. It's important for all of us to correct that record.
All right, there you go. So, I mean, you just heard the vice president there. He's sort of hedging. Didn't say yes, didn't say no about the $300 billion. So one of the things that is interesting is Marco Rubio in all of this. Marco Rubio is the Secretary of State. It is Marco Rubio's job to be negotiating with all of these other countries. And so the question is, why was he sidelined here? There is a working theory that Rubio was a proponent of going in and bombing Iran until they waved the flag of surrender. But clearly the J.D. Vance side of the administration won the day, which is now why it is all on J.D. Vance. As a matter of fact, I think the argument or the terminology rather used was a gentleman's agreement. Well, that is, you cannot have gentleman agreements with countries like Iran. You got to get it all down on paper. You got to have it all signed. You got to have it all verified. You got to get a notary republic. And even then, I still don't trust the Iranians. Do you really trust the Iranians? Do you really think they're going to abide by whatever agreement that is agreed upon? I don't think so. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Coming up, more Europeans are discovering that the mainstream media has been lying about America. And for me, I think this is the best part about the FIFA World Cup. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty, and if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnsPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I just got a lovely message from one of our listeners in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey. And this is from Judy. And Judy says, hi, Todd, we're sick and tired of it all. And this is the subject line. We want a heterosexual month. Judy says, Todd, we're sick and tired of all and some national holidays that celebrate just about anything anymore. So we decided it's time to celebrate Heterosexuality Month. Might as well throw in celibacy and monogamy with it. And there are multiple emojis here. One is a thumbs up. The other is somebody laughing. Another is a heart emoji. And then there's something, there's like an emoji with a halo on it. I'm going to have to Google these. What do you think, Todd? By the way, I also hear that you're the cousin of one of my former physical therapists from Atlantic County, New Jersey. Is that true? Yes, Judy, it is true. Actually, it was my uncle. My uncle Bill is a longtime physical therapist there. So my mom's side of the family, they're Yankees. We try not to tell people that, but, you know, it is what it is. We got to embrace our heritage. 901, by the way, Judy, thank you so much for sending us a note, and thank you for listening to the program. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones. Don in Houston on Patriot Talk 920. Don, first of all, did you guys get any of that tropical storm action?
Oh, we got a lot of it. We got more than we wanted, I can guarantee you that.
Okay, but everybody's doing okay. You guys don't need a rowboat or anything like that?
Not at the current time, but keep it handy, okay?
Oh, it's always good to have that during hurricane season.
You better believe it.
All right, what's on your mind, Don?
In the Navy, we carried a life raft with us all the time because when you need it, you need it.
That's right.
Here's what I think. We have a president who's he campaigned on and he does the art of the deal. But he's used to the American way, when like in the American way, a handshake was all you needed in years past. And then we finally graduated to it had to be signed. It had to be a paper. Okay. But that was with people that honored the deal. Now, over in Iran, they don't necessarily honor the deal. They will make all kinds of deals. But they will lie, 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 and cheat, 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 and then deny, deny, deny. So you cannot make a deal with people that will not honor the deal. And their word is worthless. They've proved it over and over. So why do we continue to try to make a deal with people that don't deal? I don't understand. Just get it over with. Take them out.
Don, I think people are, they're done. You know, I know the president's trying to be gracious and maybe give them a second, third, fourth, fifth, 15th, 25th, 38th chance. But the reality is Iran cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted. They will not honor any agreements. And honest to goodness, Don, my concern is that if this continues to go on and gas prices do not come down by November, this could be a bad problem for the Republicans.
You are correct. I agree with you 100%. I do. Todd, thank you for voicing our opinions.
All right, Don.
We need that voice. I hope somebody will listen.
Well, I trust me, we've got a lot of folks. We have a lot of folks listening, no doubt about that. Don, thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, this segment of the Todd Starn Show brought to you by our friends at Chapter. So listen up. If you're turning 65, maybe you're already on Medicare, you could be overpaying right now. You may not even know it. Well, that's why I partner with Chapter. So Chapter's advisors are honest. They're not paid to push any one plan, and they're the only Medicare advisor that compares every plan nationwide to tell you where you stand. In one call, you're going to know exactly what you are entitled to. If you're already on the right plan, by the way, they're going to tell you that. And if you're not, well, they're going to help you switch. A simple call is free to Chapter, and it takes less than 20 minutes. So if you're turning 65, you're already on Medicare, I want you to go to askchapter.org. That's askchapter.org/realhelp. That's askchapter.org/realhelp, and they're going to help you. I know last year, folks who found new plans with Chapter, are you ready for this? They saved an average of $1,100. I mean, that's real money. So, again, I want you to go and check it out, askchapter.org/realhelp. All right, time now for a trivia. We're doing trivia today, and here is your trivia question. The TSA warning tourists visiting from other nations to avoid bringing this item on board jetliners. Can you name the item? The TSA warning tourists visiting from other nations to avoid bringing this particular item on board jetliners. If you can name that item, you're going to be a winner. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Trivia. We've got a lot of fun questions coming up. This is Open Line Friday on the Todd Stern Show.
Grainger knows when you're a procurement manager for an office park, you're not managing one building. You're managing all of them. And to stay ahead, you need to see through walls and around corners. Lights about to fail, filters ready to clog, HVAC on its last leg. If you wait until something breaks, you're already behind. Count on Grainger for quality products, easy reordering, and 24/7 support. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we've been getting a lot of mail here at the News Bunker. This is from our dear friends, a group of ladies. They call themselves the Liberty Bell Literary Society. It's a group of ladies from right outside of Washington, D.C. They're all conservative ladies, and they're big fans of the show. They've done they've read a couple of my books, by the way, for their book club. And just lovely, lovely ladies. And they sent me a nice little card. It's got little birdhouses on it. It says, hope everything's going well in your little corner of the world. And this is signed by a lot of the ladies. This is from Oreen and Paul. That's her husband. I hope you are feeling much better. The world needs you. And then Cindy writing, Todd, you just need a tall glass of sweet tea and a piece of mother's pound cake. Praying for you, dear friend and patriot. I think that sweet tea and pound cake is what got me in trouble in the first place. But ladies, thank you so very much. And we always love hearing from all of our great listeners around the country. Again, we like to brag that we're just a giant front porch, and that's what we do here. All right, we have got the phones are lighting up, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to Arlington, Tennessee. Say hello to Ken, who is listening to us on KWAN. Ken, how are things in Arlington, Tennessee today?
Doing great today. Weather's great.
Oh, it's a very nice day. It seems like we got some of this tropical storms stuff yesterday, but otherwise it looks nice and sunny out there.
It is.
All right, Ken, we're going to try to help you with the prize here. We've got Dylan in the studio. Parker's running the board today. And so, Dylan, you're kind of the lifeline if Ken needs some help here.
I'll do my best.
On the trivia. So, all right, well, here we go, Ken. This is the question. TSA putting out a warning. They've got a big problem on their hands at the airports. You know, got a lot of Europeans in town for the World Cup. And they're warning these tourists to avoid bringing a particular item on board the jetliners. Can you name the item?
Ranch dressing.
Yes, that is correct. We will take ranch or Hidden Valley ranch salad dressing. Congratulations, Ken. Well done.
Thank you.
Ken, by the way, are you a big ranch salad dressing fan?
You know, I am not, and I don't see the excitement and enthusiasm for it. I am not.
I find this to be grossly offensive, Ken. I we're going to unwin you. Sorry. Dylan, poor Dylan over here is shocked. He's horrified.
I am shocked. Well, most Europeans are, like, fascinated by this sauce, so, you know, I assume most Americans like it, but, you know, it's not everyone's cup of tea, so I understand.
I would love to be in line at TSA when they were pulling some out of a backpack or something.
Have you seen, Ken, there's one particular, and I know they sell this at Kroger, it looks to be like a gallon jug of ranch salad dressing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, who eats that much salad dressing?
Yeah, no, I would love to see them though being confiscated from them. I think that'd be good.
Could you imagine? Yeah, you know all that's going in the TSA fridge in the break room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
They're calling it diplomacy. Get it? Dip. Yeah, that's what they're saying. All right, Ken, are you into the whole World Cup FIFA stuff?
You know, I am not. I put up with it and a little, but I'm not a great deal.
Well, Ken, congratulations. You are the winner, and we're going to put you on hold, and the lovely Miss Helen's going to pick up and get all of your information, and we certainly appreciate you listening to KWAM, KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your show.
All right, thank you. By the way, Dylan, you know they've been, the tourists have been all over the place, the Europeans.
Oh, yeah, mostly the South, too, which is really good for us because it shows our hospitality.
Well, we're a very friendly part. I mean, if you're coming to America for the first time, you don't want to go to Jersey.
No.
You don't want to go to New York City.
You want to go to Waffle House is what you want.
That's it. You do. I want to play that. This is a guy from Australia, and he's in Florida right now, and he's freaking out because everything they've heard about America is that people, I guess, were terrified to come here.
Yeah.
Because of the way, I guess, the national media has been portraying, you know, what it is, you know, what's life like in America.
I feel like I've been lied to my entire life about America. Like, I'm in Florida. This beach is insane. Like, just as good as Australian beaches. But if you log onto the news, everything's bad. Everyone's got blue hair. Everything's terrible. It's not. It's absolutely amazing. Are you kidding me?
He loves it.
Yeah, who would have thought a Florida beach could, you know, be appealing to an Australian? That's great.
So, unfortunately, there was a guy from the UK, and he decided to make a little side trip to Memphis, and he found himself in a pretty rough part of town, and he filmed all of this, and he said out of all of his visits to America, Memphis was the most ghetto. I'm in Uncle Lou's, eating the fried chicken, and oh my, there's a black man with a gun.
That's the exact video that you were describing. Exactly what he said.
Seems to me this is quite ghetto.
Yeah, he didn't come to Germantown at all.
He didn't. No, he didn't go to the Pink Palace or the Memphis Zoo. He wasn't even on Beale Street. Cello. Oh, mice. Am I being robbed?
You shot me.
Oh, what is this? I'd like a three-piece chicken with a scone, please.
You know what's funny? He was eating, he called it a scone, but it's like a chicken biscuit that you eat in the morning. He used ranch. He dipped it in ranch.
That's it. You know, he did dip it in. Yes, absolutely.
They don't have it over there.
Do people actually even put ranch on their salad anymore? I mean, it goes on everything now, I think, except salad.
Yeah, I mean, is that even the best dressing anymore? Now you have Thousand Island and all the other ones that I don't use.
It's a fair point. And let's go to, can we bring Edwin into the conversation? Edwin is listening to us in Texas on Patriot Talk 920. Edwin, I'm just curious, are you a big ranch salad dressing guy?
Well, not particularly. I'm more of a chunky blue cheese.
Oh, so you're highfalutin then.
No, that would be Roquefort.
Oh, man. Is that the stinky cheese?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that stuff is pungent. I will just say that. But, Edwin, I'm just curious. I know Houston, you guys got so much. I mean, was it Freddie from Germany? He was all over Houston. He loved you guys.
Well, we appreciate that. Texas tries to be very welcoming.
We got to talk about your barbecue. That they kept calling it barbecue. It's brisket. You know, we're starting a barbecue fight here on the radio.
A dangerous fight.
No, I'm just kidding. You guys did a great job. And, I mean, it was just really fun to see, right, these Europeans, people coming into our country and realizing, holy cow, this really is an awesome country.
Yeah, I'm very glad to hear that is occurring, that, you know, everybody's coming over here and finding out that America's a great place, Texas is a great place. I love the Scots that are draining Boston dry.
They've run out of booze. Have you heard about this, guys? I mean, this is like a major breaking news story here.
They've run out and they don't get drunk, so they just, it's like water to them. So this is good stuff.
By the way, Edwin, how do they know all of our songs? I mean, they're singing Country Roads better than the folks from West Virginia.
Well, you know, I think our culture does pervade at least a little bit throughout Europe. I was in the service in Europe for several years, you know, and yeah, there's plenty of people that like country, both kinds of music, country and Western.
Yeah, Country Road, and they're singing Sweet Caroline, too, and a few other songs.
It's a classic right there.
This is the headline, though, Edwin. You're not kidding. Scottish World Cup fans drank so much beer that Boston Samuel Adams Tap Room needed an emergency delivery.
That's good to hear.
Well, you know, and they hold their booze pretty well. So, all right, Edwin, we're going to hang tight. I know you were calling in for trivia, but we're going to send you a little something in the mail. So don't go anywhere. Hang tight for us. Edwin in Texas listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. And I think we just have to salute everybody. But this Uncle Lou's, I'm not going to say a bad part of town, but you do need a weapon. You need a gun if you're going to go.
It's not on the list for like number one tourist areas. Like locals like it more than most.
But Uncle Lou's chicken, it's worth it.
Yeah. I've never actually had it, but I want it now.
Oh, you got to go.
With ranch.
All right, let's go. We'll get everybody some Kevlar, and we'll go grab chicken over at Uncle Lou's.
Can we?
Yeah, we'll
after the show.
We'll let Ian drive. He's expendable. Yes.
Poor Ian.
Poor Ian. 901-260-5926. I'm curious, though. Have you ever seen anybody drink the ranch?
Not drink the ranch. I've seen other sauces being drank. I'm talking cane sauce. Other more liquidy things, but ranch, not yet.
Here's another trivia question. This is a great trivia question, actually. All right. Todd Stearns, that's me. I've written 9 books. One of the book covers was actually inspired, believe it or not, by the logo of the ranch Hidden Valley salad dressing. Isn't that a great trivia
question?
That's a
good one. Yeah, that's good.
Can you name the book that was inspired, the cover was inspired by the ranch salad dressing? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Memphis, Tennessee, a person named Taxpayer wants to weigh in. Hello, Taxpayer. How are you?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Mr. Starnes?
I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well, Taxpayer.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to hang in there.
What can I do for you today? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I call in regards to this agreement that was ironed out between Trump and those Iranians. And, you know, I just think that this agreement is not in the best interest of this country, you know. And so I think what should be done is encourage Mr. Trump to call a closed-door meeting with members of all 3 chambers, the Senate, House of Representatives, and Congress, and just let the members of all 3 chambers voice their opinion about this agreement, because I don't think that everybody's on the same page in regards to this agreement. And I just think that, you know, $300 billion is just a bit too much, you know, to be sending. And I think, not to say that they shouldn't rebuild over in that region, because I think that they should rebuild. But, you know, to hand over $300 billion to these people is just a bit too much. So maybe they should call a closed-door meeting and get the members of all 3 chambers to actually voice their opinions about the agreement.
All right, well, let me jump in here, because this is not a bad idea you have here. Just a couple of things, though. There are 2 chambers. You've got the House and the Senate, and then together they make up the Congress as a whole. So you've got the 2 chambers. They are, and I will tell you, Taxpayer, the big problem here, I mean, we know how the Democrats, all the Democrats are opposed to whatever Trump does. No, it doesn't matter what side Trump decides to do, they're always going to be opposed to it. The issue here is you've got a big divide right now within the Republican Party, and that's the That's the sticking point. So I think getting Congress involved may not necessarily be a bad idea, but let me ask you this. That $300 billion, you really think Iran's going to use that money to build back grocery stores and schools? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And, you know, if given the opportunity, I think that these people would go through and having a nuclear bomb developed if they ever got the chance. And I don't think that they're really going to stick to their promises. And if this money that's being handed over to these people, they should monitor that money and make sure that it goes to where they're sending over to these people for. If the Iranians ever get a chance to have a bomb developed, they probably gonna go through and having it done.
You're 1,000% right there. Before we let you go, taxpayer, just curious, we were talking about Uncle Lou's. Have you been to Uncle Lou's? Can you vouch for the chicken?
This is the first time I heard about that restaurant. So I'm thinking it must be a brand new restaurant that's been built here in the Mid-South.
I think Uncle Lou's has been around for a while. People are going off on, they like Gus's. You know, I'm old school. I still like Popeyes.
Well, they were talking about Jersey Mike's. Have you ever heard of the restaurant Jersey Mike's?
We have, yeah. That's the number one restaurant in America now.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. But Uncle Lou's, this is the first time I heard about their restaurant.
Well, you ought to go check them out. I've actually had their chicken, but it's pretty darn good chicken, actually. But I believe it's over in the Whitehaven area. Somebody listening to us will tell us where it's at. But, yeah, Jersey Mike's, we were just having that conversation, Dylan, a little while ago.
They beat Chick-fil-A. It's a tragic story. It's not right.
Chick-fil-A is just too expensive. Yeah. Come on. All right, taxpayer, I want you to do me a favor. Give us a holler back one of these days.
I will.
All right. Thank you for listening to us. All right. There you go. 901-260-5926. Second trivia question. One of my books, the cover is based on the cover of the Hidden Valley Ranch salad dressing bottle. If you can tell us the name of the book, you're going to be our winner. 901-260-5926. Open Line Friday. This is the Todd Stern Show.
When you're a maintenance engineer in a beverage manufacturing plant, you keep production lines moving and quality on track because there's no room for slowdowns. With Grainger's vast selection of high-quality motors, sensors, belts, and hard-to-find parts, you can get what you need fast and all in one place, so nothing gets in the way of getting the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, jeez, Lou. Oh, my goodness. It's Parker May. Shame on you. How do you not know the name of the book? And Helen, too? All right, we're going to have a timeout after the show here, folks. All right, let's try to get to the phones here. We got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in today. Let's go to Georgia, WDUN, our favorite station there. Kim Z, what's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to call in. I'm listening to Fox, and I'm listening to Todd Sturge, and I'm listening to a lot of stuff, and it seems like the Republicans have decided to shoot yourself in the foot. This MOU is not an all in all. It's, you know, this ain't over till the 60 days is up, and we're acting like it's over now. I think we're just giving the Democrats a lot of fodder. It's driving me crazy. Because we're on the teeter line of going to the Democrats this fall anyway, and we're just going to mess around and give it to them, talking all this craziness.
Well, you know what drives me crazy is when they tell me that this thing in Iran is going to be wrapped up in 4 to 5 weeks, and we're almost, 120 days later, and it still hasn't been resolved. And now they're telling us, and you're right, it's another 60 days, so you got to tack on another 60 days. Kenzie, I don't see this ending before the midterms.
Well, let me ask you though, how many other presidents we had the last 40 years that even decided to do anything about it?
Well, that's fair enough, but I'm not sure this one is either. I mean, we're either going to destroy their nuclear program or we're not. I mean, we just got to figure it out.
I trust Donald Trump over Todd Stearns, Fox News, and all of you. And I'm big-time Republican. I'm not voting any other way. But I'm just saying that this, we're just giving all this Republican, all we're doing right now is giving Democrats fodder. That's all we're doing.
All right, Kimsey, look, I trust Donald Trump as well. I'm just telling you, the American people, they are frustrated right now. That's what it's all about. Kimsey, I got to run. Thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Stearns.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the big show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. Great to have you with us, everybody. And, man, do we have a jam-packed show for you, a great hour. Our good buddy Joe Messina is going to be joining us in just a little while from Santa Clarita, California, our terrific affiliate out there. And so we want to say hello to all of our great California listeners. Also, our great listeners, I've got to give them a shout-out down in Largo, Florida at WBGS. Want to say hello to all of you folks. AM 1610, it's a great place to be. Largo, Florida, WBGS. So we love all of our Florida and California listeners and everybody else, too. So we just kind of like everybody here. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program today. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're very excited to have a special guest, and she's just an awesome, great lady. Rachel Bell's joining us, the pride and joy of Memphis, Tennessee. Rachel, hope you're doing well.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, yeah, so you and I, we met and at some campaign event somewhere, and I'm like, immediately, I like this lady.
Right back at you.
So you've been plugged into politics. How did you get involved in politics?
I lived in D.C. for 13 years and didn't really pay attention to it. And when I moved back home, I was enlightened and just was seeing what was going on in our country. And immediately, I've always voted Republican and became more passionate about it, seeing how the Democratic Party is trying to eradicate the Western civilization.
I mean, we've had a front row view of that, you know, living here in Memphis, which is a blue city, controlled by Democrats, and it really didn't matter how bad things got, they kept voting Democrat.
It's very tribal.
It's insane. And yet, then along comes Donald Trump. And this is, I think, for me, one of the things I loved about Donald Trump and still do is the guy says, what do you have to lose? You know, give me a chance. He made all these promises, and he delivered on the promises. And I'm curious, you know, your support of Donald Trump, what did that look like?
I voted for him for 3 times, and I plan on voting for him one more time. Ha, ha, ha. Everything he says, he does. He's got charisma. He's got strength. You don't mess with him. He's a straight shooter. If he doesn't like something, he's going to call it like it is. And he is strong, and he's exactly what our country needed.
When you see, Rachel, here in Memphis with the SAFE Task Force, over 10,000 arrests, I know that your family is very prominent here in the business community, in the business world. What has that done for the business community, having the National Guard, having the federal officers here?
Well, thank God they're here, first of all. And let's thank Marsha Blackburn, our great senator, soon to be governor, and here we have Tyrese Miller, who is head U.S. Marshal of Western Tennessee, and he does an amazing job executing all of this huge operation. So we are so lucky to have people that actually are holding people accountable. People feel safe. You don't have to be scared to walk around downtown, but there are still problems, but our task force is on it.
No doubt about that. You know, when you mentioned that you lived in Washington, and when I was at Fox News, I would take the train down and have to work out of the bureau, which is right across from Union Station. And it was like walking into New Delhi or something. It's like a third world country. And Trump comes in. Any other Democrat president could have fixed this. Any one of them could have, but they just refused to. I think they like to live in filth and squalor. And along comes Trump, and he cleans everything up, and the guy catches holy hell for it.
And now their talking point of the day is, there's algae in the reflecting pool. It's like, guys, we have so many bigger fish to fry. Algae grows in heat. What do you expect? They just try to find anything to be mad about with Trump.
You know, speaking of the Democrats, I want to listen, and CNN, there's a new survey out there regarding Democrats. Parker, let's play Cut 32, please.
Okay, what about this idea? Are you proud to be an American? Extremely or very proud to be an American? Again, look at this divide, a growing divide on this question. Back in January of 2001, 90% of Republicans, 85% of Democrats. This was after a very contentious 2000 election, keep in mind, right, with George W. Bush coming into the White House. You come over to this side of the screen in 2026, look at this. Again, the Democratic percentage absolutely plummets to just 29% of Democrats say they're extremely or very proud to be an American. That Republican percentage, the exact same. 90 and 90, the Democratic percentage, what is that? That's basically a third of the level that it was just 25 years ago.
If that was Harry Entons from CNN, he's got to cut down on the caffeine, Rachel. But what do you make of it? This is insane. Only 29% of Democrats say they're very proud to be an American.
I think they should leave. We don't need people that don't like America to live here. It's insane that you wouldn't be proud to be an American.
You've got a party that, and they do, they hate us. And I know Barack Hussein Obama, I don't know if you saw any of this yesterday, they officially dedicated the garbage can. Well, you call it the garbage can. I like that. We call it the Obama Presidential Death Star. You had Obama out there, and I want you to listen to how he described our founding fathers. Cut 47, please.
Union, the founders fell terribly short of the Declaration's promise, leaving slavery intact, allowing states to restrict the franchise to white men who own property.
Okay.
But in drafting a constitution.
Thank you, Parker. So, again, with this guy, it's always going back and hating on America. Doesn't want to talk about the fact about how many white guys lost their lives fighting so that the black men could be free in this country.
Who freed the slaves? Republicans.
That's it.
He's awful.
I mean, again, going back to the 1960s, who was it? Who was it that founded the KKK? That was the Democrats who founded the KKK. It was the Democrats who stood in the way of the civil rights movement. It was the Democrats who kept black kids out of the universities and the public schools. It was the Republicans who stepped in. Eisenhower sending in the National Guard to Little Rock, Arkansas. It was the Republicans who stood up for the black man and the black woman in America.
He hates America.
It's sad. I mean, it's really sad we've got to that point. You know, you're looking at and we're honored to have with us Rachel Bells here in studio. Rachel, we've got the midterm elections coming up, and I'm curious, what are some of the issues you think are going to be on the minds of voters? What are some of the issues you're concerned about?
I think for the voters, the issues are going to be the economy. It's always the economy, gas prices. Hopefully everything will come down, and God willing, everything is settled in Iran. I'm not sure you can trust Iran, but hopefully everything will be settled and people see that prices are going to come down. And if you look at the people running on the Democratic side in the midterms, you have Abdul El Sayed of Michigan, who Adam Hamawi of New Jersey, who was linked to the terrorist that wanted to bomb the World Trade Centers in 1993 and then volunteered with Al Qaeda. This is their platform. And then you have Graham Plattner with a Nazi tattoo. It's insane.
When you know, one of the things that, and this is a very underreported story, but you mentioned, you know, those two Muslim candidates here. You are watching the Islamists taking over the Democrat Party. The blacks are no longer, or about to be no longer, in control of the Democrat Party. This will be an Islamist party.
And I'm hoping that the African-American votes will shift right, because these values don't represent Western civilization at all.
What do you think we need to do, though, as a party, as Republicans, to reach out to, for example, minority communities? I mean, Memphis is a great example of that, one of the largest black cities in America. How do we take that message to the black community?
There's somehow they've been brainwashed and they've been conditioned to stay in that pocket that they're in and not to speak up, because when you speak up, they're going to say, oh, you're so bad. We have a great mayor running on the Republican side here in Shelby County, John DeBerry for Shelby County mayor. And he has a great platform and he used to be a Democrat.
It's a great point. And, you know, even here in Memphis, where the Republican Party was founded by very wealthy black men back in the 1920s, that we're not getting that story out to young people so that they know that who the Republicans really are and what the Republicans really stand for, I think.
The Democrats like their constituents to be locked in this tight box, and if they think otherwise, they're going to kick them out and ostracize them. They don't believe in opinions except for what they believe in.
It's a fair point. By the way, I just want to go back to this. Did I hear that you worked at CNN just very briefly? Is that true?
I had a little internship.
Oh, my God.
I left the next day.
It was that bad?
I didn't like it. I don't like hearing, so bring me some coffee. I need my own show, guys. I'm not bringing you a cup of coffee.
I love it. You know, they should have put you on the air. That's how that should have gone
down. They wouldn't have liked that there.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, let's talk Memphis, because I get every now and again, the guy that heads up the Memphis Tourism Bureau says, Starnes, you're killing me. You've got to stop talking about people getting shot at Memphis. You got to talk about good stuff. So I said, okay, Kevin Kane. I said, all right, Kevin, I will do this. What is something cool that people maybe they don't know about in Memphis, but they need to know about?
I'll tell you one really positive thing that Memphis has is Keenan Walker, the duck master at the Peabody Hotel. Have you ever seen him?
Yes.
Okay. He's the most positive. Just, he's amazing. He is strength and positivity and sends such a beautiful message to everybody every day. And he's so passionate about what he does and how he touches people's lives. He goes to Le Bonheur Children's Hospital or St. Jude, and anything he can do to send a message of positivity to people. He's a star here, and I think he's amazing.
We were up on the Starnes family. We do our big like holiday dinners at the Peabody, and then afterwards we go up to the rooftop for our family photos. And I think it was for Easter. We were up there, and we met him, and he was teaching a young girl. She had her mom and dad there, and he was teaching this young girl how to be a duck master and walk the ducks, and they were practicing. And we had to step out of the way for the ducks, of course. But you're right. I mean, this guy was such a great ambassador, not just for the hotel, but I also think for Memphis.
Absolutely. He's just positive.
Yeah. It's amazing. Those ducks, very impressive.
They're smart.
I got to be a duck master. Did I ever tell you this?
No.
So I have been a duck master, and my family thought that was more important than getting hired at Fox News Channel. So
that's funny. Tim Burchett was the duck master here during the Lincoln Day. He loved it.
It was great. He didn't do a good a job as I did, though. But
no.
It was really, it came close.
Y'all should have a walk-off and see who can pull it off better.
That's it. No, I still have, downstairs, I think I still have my duck cane.
It's so a cool cane.
It's a great cane. And you can also use it as a weapon if need be, you know, if you get carjacked.
You might.
Here in Memphis. I'm sorry, Kevin Kane. Rachel Bells, it's great to see you. We're going to get you back in. I love your take on stuff.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having me. Everybody have a great weekend and a happy Father's Day.
That's right. Happy Father's Day. Folks, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I asked Rachel Bells to hang out with us for a few more seconds. Rachel, I forgot to mention that, you know, we brought the National Guard. We fed the National Guard. Our good buddy Jim LoSapio, who owns a lot of restaurants and bars on Beale Street, provided the meal. And you and I forgot, we were working side by side. You were coleslaw or green beans. Yeah, we're going to get, let's get Rachel's, guys, let's get Rachel's mic on here. Were you green beans or stuffing?
Green beans and I think I was dual.
Yeah, it was you, me, and Marshall Blackburn. So, yeah. And I was like the least helpful in that trio, I felt like. So
it was fun.
Yeah, you know, that was, and first of all, thank you so much. You sponsored that, and you were a huge part of us being able to make that happen, and we're just really thankful. What was that experience like for you, though, seeing all those military folks there?
It was unbelievable to be able to see these guys that make such a difference and thank them and show gratitude for everything that they've done to put their lives on the line to help us. And recently, a couple weeks ago, I sponsored another meal. Tyrese Miller helped me organize it, and he's the best. So we had another meal for the guards and the police, and everybody is so grateful. Just to be shown the gratitude, it really leaves a mark on them too. So if you show them good, they deserve it.
It's I was at the Italian festival and came across five or six, you know, National Guardsmen just wandering around and checking things out, and stopped and said hello. And they were talking about how friendly the people of Memphis have been and how welcoming they have been. And I think that maybe surprised folks, but that's really kind of who we are, just as a city.
Southern hospitality. Yeah, one of the National Guard said, yeah, we have some people that invite us in to have a cup of tea and to talk, and they really appreciate us being here, helping.
I love that. I love that. You know, when you see, we've been talking a lot about all the Europeans coming over and just being fascinated by America. And we had the Australian, we were playing the Australian who was in Florida. And he said when he came to the country, he thought, based on the news coverage, he was coming into a war zone, when in fact it's a pretty darn nice place to live.
It is. It's amazing how our mainstream media makes America look like the worst place in the world.
And it is.
It's the best place in the world, and we have so many opportunities here.
Completely, completely agree with that. All right, Rachel, we're going to get you back on to talk more politics.
I look forward
is that
to
okay?
It. All right, I love it.
We'll have a great time. We'll stir up a stink.
We can do it. All Thank right. you. The Thanks great, for having me.
The great Rachel Bells joining us here in studio. By the way, this segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. And Newsmax has a very special offer for all of our listeners. A new study finding that 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. 70 million Americans are now collecting Social Security benefits, and Social Security expert Michael Allen says there are five key strategies to increase your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. And Newsmax wants to make sure you get this free special report. Whether you are getting benefits or you soon will, you will need this report. So call them right now, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, coming up, we're going to be checking with our good buddy Joe Messina out in California. Also, Jackson Heberlin, who is one of the young Gen Z political influencers. This guy is crushing it. We're going to be talking to him just a little bit later on in the program. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, now is a great time to go over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Books A Million and pre-order a copy of my brand new book. It's called The Golden Age: How Trump Saved America. This book has the endorsement of the president, also House Speaker Mike Johnson, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Congressman Jim Jordan. We got a long list of endorsers, and I want you to read this book. You're absolutely going to love it. It is not only a celebration of what President Trump has done for America, but it's also a call to action for all of us. How do we carry on the mission of President Trump beyond 2028? Well, we talk about that in The Golden Age, and you need to pre-order a copy right now at your favorite bookstore. All right, we've got to take a quick break here and pay some bills. It is Open Line Friday. That means we will be taking your calls on whatever topic you want to talk about. Stump Starnes, you can do that coming up, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Parker, turn your microphone on. I have a question to ask you.
Go for it.
So there's a new study out from CBS News. They're saying that the summer jobs market for teenagers is more competitive than usual. And I'm wondering, did you have a summer job? Well, actually, you do have a summer job. You're working for us, but you have multiple summer jobs.
I do. I stay very busy in the summer. Part of them are at school, so that doesn't feel as much of a job. But yes, I think that study is very true. I've seen that with a lot of my friends, and like the stress to get internships, very competitive in that market.
I mean, there's actually a story that says eager to work, teens find a frustrating summer job search, and there's a lack of entry level positions, and that seems to be a big problem. They're saying this is the lowest summer hiring total for teenagers since 1948.
It's unbelievable. I think you've seen how like most of these entry level positions nowadays are still requiring experience. So it's hard for those college kids just to get a quick summer job so they can make some money before they go back to school.
And I'm wondering if maybe a lot of these positions are actually being held by maybe even older adults who are just having a hard time finding jobs.
Definitely could be the case.
That could be. All right. Well, thank you. Let's bring in our good buddy, Joe Messina from Santa Clarita, California. Joe, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing fine. Nice little break from our 100-degree weather. It's great.
Joe, we were just talking about this this study that and these reports that teenagers are really having a difficult time finding summer jobs, these entry level jobs. You know, I remember back when I was a kid. You know, gosh, as soon as I think I was like 12 or 13, I my dad said, "Got to get a summer job." What was that like for you?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you should say that. Same thing. I helped a guy mowing lawns, you know, doing outside gardening work in the summer. Growing up in Boston, that wasn't that hard. So I made some decent money as a kid. And then when I got a little older, you talked about, you know, 12, 13. When I got closer to 15, 16, I actually worked for a car dealer being the lot boy, which is you're the kid that keeps the cars clean and washed and making sure they're ready to be taken out for a test drive with gas and all that other fun stuff.
Well, that sounds like that would have been a fun job.
It was great because when you went to go get gas, remember, this was the 70s, I could be gone for an hour to get a tank of gas. I don't know, boss, I just had to sit in line for an hour, you know, with my girlfriend in the car. It was okay. I didn't mind.
That's so. Yeah. No problem at all. According to the federal numbers here, about a third of 16 to 19-year-olds in the U.S. were employed last summer. I am shocked it was that low. That's according to federal data, which was down from a peak of about 60% in the late 1970s. So that's when you and I were probably, you know, getting summer jobs back in the day. And they say that it's just a lot of these kids are frustrated. I'm wondering, I mean, you know, maybe this is a great opportunity for a kid to become an entrepreneur, go out there and maybe start their own little business.
You know, I agree with you, but you know that I'm on a school board. I get to talk to a lot of these young kids. They seem to overvalue themselves, if you know what I mean, at times. And even with summer jobs, they're looking for a specific job, a specific way, at a specific pay scale. Now, in my community, as you know, I live near Magic Mountain in Southern California, and they just surge in the summertime with young people. They'll hire 300, 400, 500 kids at part-time work so they don't have to give them all the benefits. But L.A. as a whole is we've got – California as a whole, we still have the highest unemployment rate in the country.
I do wonder, coolest jobs in America, though, and I think it seems to me if you were working at an amusement park, that would be at least at face value. That would be like a really fun job, or like what you were doing, you know, gassing up cars and driving around picking up hot chicks in Boston.
Think about those days. I got to drive Ford Thunderbirds, Broncos, all that fun stuff. It was cool. It was really cool.
That was, yeah. So I'm curious to hear from our audience, if you had a super cool job for the summer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Joe, there's an interesting story up on the Washington Examiner. California's billionaire tax qualifies for the ballot, setting up what is expected to be a pretty costly fight. You guys are going to have one heck of an election this year.
Oh, if you think New York has got it bad right now, wait till that thing kicks in. 5% for anybody who has over $1 billion. They've already lost, if you think about it. The founders of Google are gone. You know, what's his name? Zuckerberg's gone. All the biggies have already left the state for Florida or Texas. I don't know how much more money we could use. And they just raised the, they just put the budget together and they're looking, they raised the budget by billions of dollars. I don't know. You know, Newsom says, hey, we're going to make the budget this and we're going to, we perceive this is what we're going to bring in taxes. It's, you know, Todd, we all have friends as our careers move on. We get friends in certain areas. I've got friends in the legislature, and what they're telling me is that Newsom, the head of the Senate, or yeah, the head of the Senate and the head of the Assembly here, the three of them get together and they put the budget together. It's not really put out as a team effort, and the legislators just vote on it. Period. That's what Newsom wants. That's what he gets.
So, again, when you look at all of these things, and if in fact it passes, you're going to have just yet another mass exodus of billionaires leaving, packing up, and heading out of California. This is not rocket science.
No. And, you know, what's really funny is what people don't understand, you know this, is that once the billionaires leave, because they're paying the biggest portion of taxes in this state, where is that going to fall? What's that going to trickle down to? There's going to be higher gas taxes, higher income tax, higher payroll taxes. We're going to get nailed on this one, the quote-unquote average Joe. And I don't think – I mean, people are running around. It's beautiful that they gave it that title, isn't it, Todd? The billionaire tax. So everybody's running around the average Joe. Yeah, oh, yeah, they deserve to pay more. They need to pay more kind of thing. Wait till it hits them.
Mm. Joe Messina joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Joe, let's take a call. We have Doug in Georgia listening to us on WDUN. Doug, I understand you had a cool summer job.
Very cool. Well, I actually had two. I grew up north of Detroit on Lake St. Clair, which is actually part of the Great Lakes. And I used to pick night crawlers at night, and I'd fish for catfish during the day. And in the morning, I'd sell my night crawlers, and all during the day, I'd sell my catfish. For 20 cents a pound, and my night crawlers, 3 dozen for 50 cents. And I always had a lot of money, and it was very cool. So entrepreneurial, best job I ever had. It's been downhill since.
I love it. Joe, I love this. What a great job.
Oh, my God. Really? And going out and doing it on your own, and I got news for you. I'm probably a little girly boy. I don't know if I'd be out at night catching night crawlers. Not going to happen. Not for the city boy.
Well, it was fun. I learned about sex, actually, because a lot of people don't know this, but worms have both genders. They were way ahead of the whole trans thing. And they hook up at night end to end. Well, not end to end, front to front. Like, take your two fingers and put one on top of the other on index. Those were the easiest ones to catch. They were just kind of sleepy, and the guy side was sleepy. The woman side was complaining, but it was wonderful. They made great bait. All right, enough of this shtick. I'm going home. I got to celebrate Juneteenth.
Thank you for that, Doug. A lesson on worm sex here on the Todd Starr Show. Joe Messina, I don't think this ever happened with Limbaugh.
I got nothing.
He's going to home. He's celebrating Juneteenth.
Well, I am taking notes that the guy was kind of laid back and relaxed.
Oh, by the way, no, we've got to talk about this. There's a big story back in your homeland of Boston where they're running out of beer. I mean, the Scotch and the British are drinking them dry.
Oh, God. You know, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I'm going to say it anyway. Are you shocked that the Scots, the Irish, and the Brits drink too much beer? Is that really a surprise to anybody? But I got it. But the thing I really am impressed by, I don't know if you saw the video of the Boston City worker who went to clean up the parks. They were clean. And he said, this is amazing. These people cleaned up after themselves. I really have nothing to do here coming out after this big event. The other thing was, I love the way the guy at the bar put it. We had to ask for an emergency delivery of Samuel Adams beer. That was just great.
At least they're having a good time.
Yeah. And you know what? When I looked, there were no police cars on fire. There were no school buses on fire. The streets were clean. This is the kind of stuff that we love to see.
Yeah. It's a great story and a terrific story. Joe Messina joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. There's also, you know what, we're going to have to, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. But I will say this, Joe, that when you look at all of the Europeans coming here and just the stories, it just, every time I hear one of these stories, it just makes me proud to be an American. And now we understand that Freddie the German, who sort of sparked this, this online craze, has been extended an invitation to the White House. So this kid, it's amazing.
Yep. That's very cool. Very cool.
All right. Isn't it
sad that Americans born here aren't as excited about being here as visitors?
You know, they're not. And I say, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you.
Amen, brother. I'll get behind you on that one.
All right. Joe Messina, ladies and gentlemen, host of the Joe Messina Show. Joe Messina. Is it joemessina.com or .net?
Oh, joemessina.com.
joemessina.com. My apologies. joemessina.com. And Joe, always good hearing from you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You too. Stay healthy, Todd.
All right. I will do my best. So there you go. All right. Time now for a little trivia. And this is an opportunity to win some great prizes from the Todd Stearns Radio Show. CNN is now running wall-to-wall investigations and allocating hours of news coverage to a major scandal brewing in Washington, D.C. What is the scandal that CNN is covering? Is it the illegal alien who was arrested, the ringleader of the catastrophic terrorist attack on the White House? Is it B, the return of algae to the reflecting pool on the Washington Mall? Or is it C, minority contractors who say they have not been paid for millions of dollars in work on the Obama presidential Death Star? What is the scandalous news that CNN is covering? Give us a call if you know the answer. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines here. Pat in Gainesville, Georgia. Pat, hope you're doing well today. What's on your mind?
Yes, I think President Trump needs to go in and finish up the job and not worry about peace talk until he gets the job done. If he doesn't know where the nukes are, I'm sure Israel does. And if they don't, then we need to put trackers in Hezbollah's turbans and find out and finish it up and get out of there.
Pat, I have not heard this idea, and I like it. So you're saying put some sort of a tracking device inside the turbans of the Islamist?
Yes.
Pat, it's a brilliant idea. I love this idea. So then you can have them on, like, and you know they've got like all these little computer screens. You could probably just track them on a smartphone and then direct the bombs to wherever the turbans end up.
There you go.
Pat, we need you inside the White House. I think we can put you on the president's national security team.
I don't know about that, but it just seems like common sense.
Pat, you're absolutely right. And I think that's at the end of the day, that's all anybody is concerned about. We don't want Iran to have access to nuclear weapons, because once they do, they will use them against either Israel or the United States or both of us, and I don't want anybody getting blown up by a nuke.
No, because that's going to destroy the entire planet, whether people realize that or not. Even if their country doesn't get hit, the fallout is going to destroy the atmosphere.
Pat, it's a great thought you have. It's a valid concern you have, and let's just hope that. And look, I trust the president. I don't trust the people around the president, but I do trust the president. Pat, God bless you, and thank you for listening to WDUN. Great people there. Let's go to Mike in Clear Lake City, Texas, on Patriot Talk 920. A lot of Houston area callers today. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Well, great show as usual, Todd. I wanted to put a plug in for Michael Wilson. You interviewed him last week when he was at the Republican, you know, proceedings here in Texas. I listen to him on 920 Patriot Talk here in Houston whenever I can. That you need to have him as a guest host sometime. That guy is off the hook.
Well, we like Michael Wilson, and he did a terrific job, and he's got a great, great show there on Patriot Talk 920. I hear that the numbers are just phenomenal with the numbers of people listening to it.
Yes, and they are. And I want to ask you a question. Now that hopefully this Iran deal is over, we can put all this behind us, are we going to get back to America first? And by that I mean, are we going to abolish the Department of Education? Are we going to permanently defund Planned Parenthood, NPR, and so forth? Are we going to get the SAVE Act passed? Are we going to defund all these universities that have billions of dollars in endowments but are still receiving taxpayer money and so on?
Mike, I think we may have lost Mike there, but Mike, I think that everything you just said is so accurate. We have defunded NPR and PBS, so that's good news, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. But as you and I were speaking, I literally just got an email from the White House, and this is what they're saying, and this was literally just a few seconds ago. President Trump's Iran agreement is America First in action. And the White House now officially announcing that the president and vice president have secured an historic breakthrough by signing the Memorandum of Understanding with Iran, forged through decisive American strength. The agreement ensures Iran will never obtain a nuclear weapon, reopens the Strait of Hormuz to free navigation, and puts America first. Rejecting this failed politics of appeasement, cash payoffs, and endless wars that have weakened the United States for decades. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is the official position now of the White House, that the Iran agreement is America First in action. So we're going to take your calls on this. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit later on with Jackson Heberlin, who is a great young political influencer. You've seen him on my Newsmax show quite a bit. So we're excited to have Jackson joining us in just a little while. Our number, 901-260-5926, open line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting about the Democrats when, you know, they're out there accusing Trump of being a king, and they've got the No Kings protest, and you probably seen these gaggles, these large, smelly gaggles of morbidly obese women, many of them wearing the purple hair, the magenta hair, and they have the big, thick, oversized glasses, and they're wearing these pants. I don't know what you call them, but the pants, the cuff of the jeans or the slacks, they rise above the ankle, so you see their bloated, cankly ankles, right? It's not a good look. And I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but you have to because they're really large. And so there they are, and they're on these corners and the overpasses of America, and they're holding the signs that say No Kings. And a lot of them are old, and they've got their little, they can even hold signs. So they've got their signs taped to their walkers, or in some cases, they're in wheelchairs. And they're saying that Trump wants to become a dictator, that Trump thinks he's God. when in fact, of course, none of that is true. And so then yesterday we had the celebration of the dedication of the Obama Presidential Death Star in Chicago. And people were literally worshiping Barack Hussein Obama. As a matter of fact, this is nothing new. They called him Chicago Jesus. I mean, people truly thought that Barack Obama was some sort of a deity. As a matter of fact, back during his time in office, they were selling nativity scenes that had Barack and Michelle Obama, and they portrayed them as Joseph and Mary and Jesus. They had Barack Hussein Obama prayer shawls. People were literally writing hymns and songs about Barack Obama as if he were some sort of a deity. And so that brings me to Abby Phillip from CNN last night suggesting that the Obama Presidential Death Star is actually a church. Cut 46.
The Obama Presidential Center is officially open. All four other living former presidents and first ladies attending the opening ceremonies on the south side of Chicago today, along with a number of celebrities. President Obama took the podium and encouraged Americans not to lose faith in each other and to remember that collective voices and how we treat each other matters. Forgetting that fact, he says, only gives power to those trying to divide us.
For us to give in now, after all this country's been through, to cynicism and division would be a betrayal of our founding ideas. And I remain convinced that the overwhelming majority of Americans feel the same way.
So in some ways, this was like church for liberals. It was. Everybody was dressed in their Sunday finest and sitting in the pews. And he was delivering a message about, not just about that, but also actually... There was a lot of contrast happening about Trump in the remarks from him, and I'll play some a little bit later from Michelle Obama.
It's a church for liberals. That's what she said, a church for liberals. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a church for Satan, is what that was. Satan. Anyway, what a mess that is. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Houston, Texas. A lot of Houston callers today. Gregory, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Gregory. What's on your mind?
Well, hi, Todd. I listen to your show on 920, 950 every day. And I want to know how America is going to be sure that Iran doesn't start making a nuclear weapon somehow, somewhere that we don't know about.
Gregory, I think the answer to that question is we can't. I don't see how we could.
Well, then, the Ayatollah signing a piece of paper is really worthless.
Yeah, it would certainly appear that way, would it not? I mean, do you trust him, Gregory? Would you trust the Ayatollahs?
Not as far as I could pick them up and throw them.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah, I'm with you on this. I do not trust them.
So we have to have a method, a way that we can be able to make certain that they don't make a nuclear weapon. Because we know they want one, and we know that if we turn our backs to them, they'll make one.
I have absolutely no doubt about that. And the only thing I can imagine is that we're using the money maybe as like, remember the dangling the carrot and the stick, and maybe that's what we're trying to do here. And, you know, if they violate the order, we're going to turn the stick, you know, and just knock them upside the head with it. But again, I don't think, look, Do you really think that President Trump trusts the Ayatollah? I don't think he does.
No, I don't. And I also think that as long as we were over there, we should have, with our military, we should have taken out everything. We should have eliminated any possibility that they could do anything militarily or build some sort of bomb, and just destroy it, take it out. That's what we should have finished the job.
Gregory, a lot of people don't agree with me on this, but remember back when George H.W. Bush went in and, you know, we had to fight for, you know, we had to kick the Iraqis out of Kuwait. Remember that, the Persian Gulf War?
Yes.
I felt like we should have taken over the oil fields then. And then after what they did to us with 9/11, even though there were no weapons of mass destruction, after we took Iraq, I think we should have taken over the oil fields. And now here we are, and you know, there was all this talk about Karg Island and taking over all. I don't think we're going to do it. I say we go in, we conquer these people, and take what we can.
That's right.
Make a deal
with them. And what is this bullcorn about $300 billion? Come on.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out, but we need to be watching that money long term. I just want to make sure no pallets are involved. So, Gregory, thank you for the call. We've been educated today. We've learned about worm sex and bullcorn today. I feel like I'm a smarter man, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Parker, it is... It's Father's Day coming up Sunday.
It is.
Do you have a gift for your dad?
You know, it's going to be a different Father's Day. My dad's actually going out of town for work on Father's Day.
Is that right?
He has to leave Sunday morning.
So that's your excuse, though. You're not going to get him a gift.
That's not what I'm saying the excuse is. We were actually supposed to go play golf yesterday.
Oh, well.
The rain had other plans.
So. Did you pay for it, though?
I was going to.
Okay, yeah. So that's good.
If we have the chance to play.
All right, so look, I think that's a great gift.
Yes.
I think your dad would appreciate a good golf game as opposed to a tie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Those were the two ideas I had.
Well, you know,
golf or a gift card.
You know, Father, the dads always get, and I hate to bring this up. I know you're dating a lovely young lady, and you may be getting hitched, who knows, down the road. But I hate to break this to you. But Father's Day, the dads always get, they kind of get jilted.
They really do. I feel like you get the Mother's Day gets marketed a lot better than Father's Day does, and I haven't figured out why.
The moms get all the great stuff, right? And then the dads.
It's like, I see the question going around every year on this time, like, what's the male equivalent of flowers? I think that's a great question.
A cigar? Maybe.
A cigar? I've heard golf balls as an answer.
Oh, golf balls. Okay. Maybe we should open that up, and we should ask people, what are some cool Father's Day gifts, dads, that you would like? We don't need the ladies on this one. It's the guys. Guys, what do you want? Because, you know, the ladies, my husband would love high tea at the Peabody Hotel at Chez Philippe with the little cucumber sandwiches. I don't think that's a guy's thing.
You might like that, but your husband might not.
Your husband's probably not going to like it. So anyway, guys, give us a call. What do you think? A cool, and because ladies, we've got to up the game here. You got to up the game when it comes to Father's Day. That's all there is to it. So 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Also, if you want to give your dad a shout out, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people think, oh, it's Hallmark. Hallmark actually created the Father's Day event. And actually, it's not true. And actually, Father's Day was actually birthed in a church house. And there are two stories that sort of combine that actually gave us Father's Day. One of them was back in 1910, Spokane, Washington, where... you had a woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd, and she's basically credited with driving Father's Day into the national consciousness. But a few years earlier in West Virginia, there was a horrible, horrible tragedy. 361 men were killed in a mining accident, and they were honored. Those fathers were actually honored during a church service at an Episcopal church there in West Virginia. So those two stories combined sort of brought us the modern day, what we now know as Father's Day. By the way, we do have a trivia question as we go to break, and we are looking for those really super cool Father's Day gifts. And here is the question. Which president signed signed the proclamation declaring permanently that the third Sunday in June would be Father's Day. Which U.S. president did that? Was it Millard Fillmore? Was it FDR? Or was it Richard Nixon? The president who permanently made Father's Day a holiday. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And just a reminder to go and pre-order a copy of my brand new book called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. It is available for you to pre-order right now at your favorite bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, wherever you get your books. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. We're going to start with Peter in North Carolina. Peter, I understand, first of all, we're going to get to your gift ideas. What sort of gift ideas for Father's Day?
Well, I think the first thing would be remote control for the day.
The remote? Oh, so you would like, what? And by the way, that doesn't cost any money at all, so you would like full control of the remote control for the entire day?
Correct.
I love that idea.
That's fantastic. Especially this time of year.
You know, an action adventure movie rather than, something more,
Yeah, I like that. Okay, Peter, good stuff. By the way, I know you wanted to play trivia as well. Can you tell us the name of the president who made Father's Day permanent?
I'm guessing on this, but I think it would be Fillmore.
Oh, no, Peter, it was not, but thank you for playing, and that was a great gift idea, but we appreciate you listening to us. Let's go to Joe in North Carolina, listening to us on the talk station, WTKF. Hi, Joe, how are you today?
Doing great, Todd. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe. You just heard Peter. He took a swing, and it was a swing and a miss. He's one of your fellow the talk station listeners out there. So we're going to try to see if you might be able to win the prize today. We need to know the name of the president who is responsible for making Father's Day a permanent holiday.
His name is Richard Nixon.
Yes, sir, Joe. Richard Milhouse Nixon would be correct. Congratulations. 1972 that he made Father's Day a permanent holiday. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right, Joe, hang tight. We're going to get you a prize in the mail here, so don't go anywhere. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Kentucky. Pastor John, I understand you've got some great Father's Day gifts. Hi, Pastor John.
Hey there, Todd. You know what? Actually, it just popped in my, you know, actually, look, first gift idea. Reach out to Duck Dynasty, and they had the Phil Robertson Bible in leather bound or in hardback, and you can probably have the Robertson boys autograph it and make it out to the dad. The second idea is a good bottle of limited edition Kentucky or Jack Daniels, which is Maine, Tennessee, a good bottle of bourbon. Or, and included in that, is a good cigar.
Ooh.
And, wait, one more. And your released book autographed to the dad as a gift as well.
Oh, I like that. So, yeah, the cigars, and we call it Tennessee sipping whiskey down here in the
right.
In the volunteer state. So I like that.
Well, just like I said, dads deserve it. And so like I said, and also like I said, your book autographed out to the dad and a good Bible verse for the dad. But those are just my ideas, Todd.
I'm great willing. Well, thank you, Pastor John. I love these ideas, and thank you for that. And I would throw my book into the mix on that. Absolutely.
Priceless. Coming from you, brother.
Well, I don't know if it's priceless, but that's very kind of you. Still make a pretty cool gift, though. All right, Pastor John, always good to hear from you, sir. Thank you for calling. Speaking of cigars, Parker, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this story. This is out of Massachusetts. Cigars, a canceled lacrosse season, and the scandal rocking a Massachusetts town. So there's a lacrosse team. I never could understand lacrosse. All I know is you run around with sticks and you beat people. Is that pretty much lacrosse?
To an extent. I played it for a year, and it was by far the most complicated sport I played.
Oh, you did?
I played it in middle school, and it was fun, but it definitely is complicated.
Yeah, we never could figure it out. The little Stearnses, who are about your age, they're out there, and we're watching, and we don't know what we were cheering for.
It's hard to know what you're watching at first.
Well, the lacrosse team, were you guys pretty good?
We were good, yeah.
All right, but you were middle school.
I was.
So you weren't smoking cigars.
Exactly.
Okay. So anyway, the high school team, they're in it's called Ipswich, Massachusetts. Ipswich High School. Their lacrosse team. They won. And the boys gathered on a beach to celebrate their high school graduation, and some of them had their medals draped over their black gowns. And they all had cigars. The photo was taken on June the 7th, and it mirrored those snapped all around the country lately. You know, that's a big thing now. All the high school kids graduating, they got the cigars. But in this coastal enclave, dubbed America's best preserved Puritan town, those snapshots have lit a burning debate. Six of the graduates were on Ipswich's high school lacrosse team, and administrators suspended all six from a playoff game because they violated rules against tobacco use. I'm going to tell you more about the story coming up next. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're broadcasting on more than 100 stations around this great nation. Trust you are doing well on this Friday. By the way, it is Open Line Friday, so if you want to call in, you can talk about whatever is on your mind today. That telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to bring into the conversation one of my favorite Gen Z political influencers. I don't know if I've ever said this, Jackson. Jackson Heberlin joining us today on the show. I think this is your debut on the radio show, Jackson. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Todd. That's super nice. I really appreciate it.
No, you are may I just say you are bold and fearless. And folks, if you're not following this guy on the socials, on Instagram, and are you on TikTok too or just Instagram?
I'm on TikTok, but TikTok isn't very nice to me. They don't like people like me. But I'm mainly on Instagram.
I can't imagine why, Jackson. I just can't figure that one out. Jackson,
yeah, I think I'm too controversial for TikTok.
Just a smidge, but Jackson loves to debate liberals, and I just think it's really very entertaining. And one of the things I'm really impressed by is that you just come armed with the facts, Jackson, and I think that really triggers the other side.
Yeah, I definitely think so. A lot of the problem with the right is that most people who want to get into debate want to just do it for like clips, because they really just care about getting a clip where a liberal gets mad and then they can post that. And that's all good and fun. Like, I get it, because that's what makes the money. But for me, I really care about having like an academic experience, because when I was younger, I was a Democrat whenever I was very young. People don't know this, but a lot of the reason was because I was a kid growing up who was into science and all this stuff. And so when I wanted to watch a political debate, the smart guy was the Democrat. And that the problem isn't that the Democrats had a better ideology. The problem is that Republicans, when I was younger, a lot of them didn't bring the heat when it came to facts. So now that I have the opportunity, I care a lot about showing up with the right information to represent the side to the fullest extent.
I'm wondering if there's any one particular liberal that you like to debate on a regular basis or you've enjoyed, you know, talking to.
Yeah, my favorite liberal to debate has definitely been Destiny, Stephen Bunnell. I think he's the most famous left-wing debater currently, but he's a streamer, and he's controversial. He said a lot of things that I don't agree with, but he's an extremely intelligent guy, and it's always a big, big challenge. When I'm debating Destiny, there's always a lot of preparation involved. I get a little bit of the forehead sweat like I used to when I got started, so it feels good to have a real challenge, and Destiny always brings a challenge.
You see, this is what I love, and I know on our TV side, and you show up on our Newsmax show quite a bit, and I'll tell the team, guys, you got to give me a liberal. I want to just have me on air with a liberal. And the problem, Jackson, the liberals they find, by the time I'm finished interviewing them, they've like switched over to become Republicans. And I'm like, where's the fun in that?
Yeah, I definitely listen. If you want some liberals, I've got some liberals who will stay liberal for you. I've debated them for hours and they're still liberal.
I mean, look, I'm all about converting. I just, you know, it just doesn't make for good TV. You know, you got to be a little, you got to have a little bit of a feistiness on air. So
exactly. That happens in debate. It's the same thing with some Republicans. Like I've done debates where I'll, you know, bring a bunch of Republicans to an event and I'll debate with them. And by the end of the debate, they're like, yeah, I hate Trump. And like, it's like, dude, you came in like the other team. You got to stay on your side. I mean, it's like they don't know what they believe half the time.
Exactly. Before we get any further, Jackson, I want you to give our listeners a little idea of where you're from, what you do, and what you're studying in school.
Well, totally. So I originally grew up in West Virginia, and then I moved to South Carolina like around middle school time. And so I went to Clemson University. I got really involved in the student activism there. From then, I got very involved in a scandal where we had some producers who supported Charlie Kirk's assassination. And so after that happened, I started, you know, going around news stations to try and explain our story. And I figured out that I felt like I was pretty decent at it. I started doing debates to try and fill the gap that Charlie Kirk left. And from there, that kind of became a lot of what I do now. But I was originally in political science, but now I'm doing journalism, actually. I just switched, which was, I think, at your advice, too. So I appreciate that.
Well, look, I know we saw the original story when you guys came under attack there at the university, and that's how you ended up on our program, and we're just so excited, you know, to give you a platform and let you weigh in on the issues and really give a Gen Z perspective to a lot of the issues. I know you and Ryan Leonard, and of course Ryan from NYU. Pretty much in the same boat. So it's been fun to see you know, a new generation of conservatives, you know, coming up and being bold and unafraid to talk about the issues of the day. You know, I'm curious about South Carolina, though. Man, the Republican Party in that state is just really messed up right now. And I think it's symbolic of maybe the fights that are being had across the nation within the Republican Party.
It absolutely is so symbolic. I mean, I can say this, like, not to talk too much trash here, but like we have our big governor race coming up, and I've met every candidate for the governor race, and I honestly liked all of them, except for the front runner now, Pamela Evett. I thought she was clearly a business candidate. I don't think she's very America First. I don't think she represents the 2016 Trump agenda. And it's just terrible because it feels like in South Carolina, we're constantly getting the worst of our options. I mean, we had McMaster as governor for a long time, and I personally wasn't too against him, but the people didn't love him for a while. But now we're getting McMaster's lieutenant governor, and then McMaster Jr. is in talks of being the new lieutenant governor. And it's like, in South Carolina, there's the incumbent advantage is so strong that when someone gets into office, they'll be here for the rest of their lives, no matter who likes them and who doesn't, because people just want to vote for the safe option. I mean, look at Lindsey Graham. What's his approval rates like? But he's coming back.
No doubt about it. And we had his opponent, Mark Lynch, who was came on the show several times. Like the guy, he's a businessman, and you know, I think he mounted a pretty valiant effort there. But at the end of the day, you know, the Republicans are going to fall in line, and that's exactly what they did.
Exactly. And Mark represents a true grassroots politician. Like, once again, I don't think the guy's perfect, but I spoke to him, you know, personally, just me and him talking, and he believes everything he says. He means what he says, and he has reasons for believing it. And to me, that's like, you know, I would rather any day someone who I disagree with but agrees, but like really believes what they say, than someone who I think is frankly deceitful. And, you know, I don't know Lindsey Graham myself, but for me personally, I find it hard to believe that he truly believes a lot of the things that he says.
We have Jackson Heberlin with us. He is a great political influencer, loves to debate the liberals, and we love that. Jackson, there is a crazy story out of Massachusetts. We were just talking about it before the break. Ipswich High School, you got a bunch of lacrosse players. They took a picture together after high school graduation. And the lacrosse players were all smoking cigars. And the school came in, they suspended a lot of the kids who were not graduating and said they violated the tobacco policy of the school. Apparently, there's been some sort of a massive investigation over what seems to me to be a pretty darn innocuous photo of a bunch of guys being guys smoking cigars.
You know, I'm happy you agree because I didn't want to get too controversial, but I'm saying it depends on the age, right? If it's a freshman, like, okay, you probably shouldn't be smoking a cigar in victory if you're a freshman. But if you're a senior graduating high school graduating high school and you're smoking a cigar with your buddies one time, like, I don't see the harm in that. I mean, that was normal behavior. Like, what? Like, that was totally just common like 40 years ago, but now that's, you know, you're getting suspended for that. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, let me say this. What is more unhealthy? Is it smoking the cigar or getting beat upside the head by a lacrosse stick? I think the argument could be made here that, you know, go ahead and smoke them if you got them, boys.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't do lacrosse, but I mean, a cigar, I could handle that at least.
So here's the funny thing. So now the argument was the parents, this is sort of funny. So the parents were saying, oh, okay, they weren't real cigars, that they were actually fake cigars. But there was a problem, Jackson. Apparently, the school district found subsequent photos of the guys that holding cigars that had been pretty much all the way smoked through. So you can't be taking pictures and putting them on social media. It's gonna come back and haunt you every single time.
Yeah, I can say that. Listen, if you're smoking cigars with your buddies in celebration, don't post the photo. I know it may be a cool photo, but it's not worth it. It's never worth it.
Oh, boy. Hey, by the way, are you a big World Cup guy, a soccer guy, FIFA?
See, this is embarrassing, but I don't watch any sports at all. I'm kind of a nerd. I grew up never being into sports like that, you know? And I want to get into it, but my buddies are all super excited. So I pretend a little bit. I act like I know what's happening.
Our producer, Parker, is just like, I just heard him shouting, What do you mean you don't do sports?
I know. It's honestly the most embarrassing thing ever. But where I grew up, like, I played baseball. I played basketball. You got to think, I grew up in rural West Virginia, so there weren't really any big teams to get excited about. Maybe that's a lot of it.
No, but you got a great baseball one. Are they still in the World, Parker? You're our sports guy. Is West Virginia?
They got eliminated, made it to the semifinals.
Oh, geez, they got eliminated?
Oklahoma and North Carolina in the championship.
Oh, man. Well, they did a great job getting there. I mean, it was a great season for your guys in West Virginia there, Jackson, and they were singing the Country Roads song.
Yeah, the hard part is, so I grew up in like really southwest West Virginia, so like almost Ohio. And so when you look at like a WVU, that's like, I grew up 4 hours from WVU. So it's almost like a whole different, like whole different state to me.
Gotcha. All right. Well, all that to say, I just wanted to get your thoughts on all these soccer fans coming over from other countries. And man, they love America.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, a lot of these people, especially if you're from South America, really do love America because, you know, I think one thing is a lot of these people from these countries, it's not like the people who are coming from, you know, places like Haiti who view it as an opportunity. A lot of these people understand that America is like a place where opportunities are made. They're hardworking people. And you got to think, people who can afford to take vacations to watch a soccer game. I mean, most of my buddies, myself included, it would be pretty expensive to even just see a World Cup game while living in the U.S. So if you're someone who made your living in one of these South American countries where soccer is so popular, I'm sure the minute you go over to America, it's a great moment for you.
I am trying to figure out. That's a great point. And I was actually trying to put together the price tag, how much these Europeans are spending to come over here. I mean, they've been, what, here for a couple of weeks. Everybody wandering around, going to the games, hotel rooms, all the food. Clearly, they drank Boston dry. These guys must be loaded over there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've got one buddy who went to go watch one of the World Cup games, and I mean, he lives near there, but even just for him, he was giving me a run out of the price tag, and I was like, I couldn't afford it, I know that. So I can't imagine flying in, getting a hotel, traveling. A lot of these people are seeing multiple of the games. I mean, I didn't know there was that much money to be made in countries that aren't America.
Yeah, go figure. Real quick, before we let you go, and this is actually why we had you on the show, Iran, you have been very outspoken in your opposition to the initial Iran policy going to war. I'm curious to get your thoughts now that there is apparently a memorandum of understanding. I'm on the other side of this. I feel like we should have blown them to kingdom come until they waved the surrender flag. That has not happened, but now we do have a memorandum of understanding. Jackson, your take on that?
See, I feel like there's sort of two different elements. And one of them is, like, if we do get the peace deal. So I think if we do get a peace deal, then what did we really gain here? You know, because it was a costly conflict. You know, we invaded, the strait was closed, there was economic damage. You know, we obviously increased tensions. So I feel like if you're going in, there's got to be a benefit. And that's where, for me, like, as much as I'm anti-Iran war, I'm not like a third world, like, you know, pro-Palestine person. So it's like, I really care a lot about just seeing it to where America wins. And so I think that if we're going over there, we've got to win. That's so important to me. And so I think if we are really moving towards just an off ramp where it's like a, you know, they don't win, we don't win, I guess we'll call it a, you know, call it a day. I don't think that's the way we should be behaving if we're entering a conflict like this. It makes us look weak. It really does. It makes Iran think that they won. They're going to tell their people the U.S. tried to attack us and Iran fought them, you know, fought us off, and then we reached a deal. So I don't like that. But maybe the good thing about it is that I don't think we're really going to be getting a deal, because I think I saw somewhere that Trump has announced peace, I think it was like 36 times since the war started. And it's gotten to a point now where whenever I see like there's a new deal being reached, I give it like 5 days before I even read up on it. So I'm not holding my breath here. I'll say that.
I think we're at 38 now, by the way. So we are keeping keeping tabs. Jackson, look, you've been a great sport. We've enjoyed having you on. We're going to get you back on very soon, and we appreciate you. And you keep up the great work, and go get them.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Todd. Take care.
All right. Jackson Heberlin, everybody. You should follow this guy on the Instagram. And it's exciting. What I love about Jackson, he comes loaded with knowledge. And, you know, he's not spewing anybody's talking points. He's got his own perspective, own point of view. And we respect that here on the program, whether you're a Kyle Campbell or Wendy Patrick or Mary Walter or whoever, we really appreciate Jackson's great perspective. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I think we still have a trivia question on the table. We've got several on the table, guys. So we're going to, we'll work through this. Here we go. This is your trivia question as we go to break. A Major League Baseball team in the national spotlight, they warn players not to write Bible verses on their ball caps. Can you name the team? If you can name the team, you're going to be our winner. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show Friday edition. Let's go right to the phones. Here is the trivia question. Major League Baseball team warning players not to write Bible verses on their ball caps. Let's go to Ben in Memphis, Tennessee on KWM. Ben, what's the team?
I'll say the Yankees.
Oh, no. I am sorry. That is incorrect. Ben, good try, though. Let's go to Danny in Tennessee. Danny, what's the answer?
Oh, I didn't catch it was Major League Baseball. My guess was the New Jersey Devils. That's a hockey team.
Oh, no. But Danny, that got a rise out of Helen, by the way, Danny, our caller here. Thank you for the try, though. All right, you too, Danny. We like Danny from Selmer. Parker, Helen was like screaming over there. What? It's hockey. Let's go to, we will try Dan in Pasadena, Texas. All right. Dan, I thought this was an easy one.
Well, questions are easy when you do know the answer.
Wow, that's a deep thought, Dan, a deep thought. Yeah. All right, Dan, here's the question. Major League Baseball team in the national spotlight warning players not to write Bible verses on their ball caps. What is the team?
The San Francisco Giants.
Yes. Yeah, Dan, you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, the Attorney General, the Justice Department, announcing now an official investigation into the team as a result of that. So there you go. Dan, we're going to have to put you on hold, my friend, because we're running out of time. But congratulations. Helen will get all of your information. And I want to thank all you guys who called in today. It has been a great week. tons of calls today, and I apologize if we weren't able to get to all of your calls. But you know what? We're going to be back at it Monday, noon o'clock, right here on the radio. So hope you guys get out there and have a great, great Father's Day. And even if you don't have money for a gift, call your dad. Maybe spend the day with him and just hang out. Maybe let him, you know, use the remote control all day. How about that? All right, folks, get out there. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do this weekend, be sure to go to church. Have a great one, America.